Dr. Bell is a performance consultant. He's a psychologist, and he has authored 10 books on these subjects. He's trained athletes, teams, coaches, even dancers, musicians, and a poker player. He's a still competitive swimmer, and every day swims in either Deep Eddy Pool or Barton Springs. And if you've swum at either one of those pools, you know how cold they are and how much dedication that takes during the cold months in Austin. He's only missed one day in all of the past decades back in the 80s. So please welcome him to the stage and enjoy the speech. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can you hear me out there? Oh, good. All right, so I have the... how many of you were here for the last talk? Good, good. I get the privilege of speaking to you about the importance of rules after Lisa spoke to you about killing rules and how bad they were. I've been working with some of the best athletes in the world for more than 30 years. I work with companies as well, but most of my work is in the area of sports psychology. And it's really exciting work for me because my training was in counseling psychology, and there was no sports psychology when I was in graduate school, but I've been competing as an athlete since I was 7 years old. And when I got to graduate school, I had my mind set on learning as much as I could and getting the tools I needed for a career. And I'm sitting in class one day, and we're talking about pain management, and we're talking about performance anxiety, and we're talking about test anxiety, and some things like that. And we're talking about pain management, and the studies in those days were, they took a bucket of ice water, and they took starving graduate students, which they paid 75 cents an hour. And they took these students, asked them to put their hands in buckets of ice water, and they timed to see how long they could keep them there. It was pretty uncomfortable. And so, and then that would be the control group, and then they would introduce these fancy psychological techniques so that they could extend their pain tolerance. So what they did was they'd have them stick their hand in a bucket of ice water, and they'd play music. And the theory was that the students would disassociate from the pain and listen to the music. Or they'd tell them to go to the beach in their head. And again, the theory was if they were lying on a raft on a warm summer's day, floating on the gentle waves, that they drift off and they wouldn't be worried about the pain. And actually, that worked pretty well. And I'm sitting in class and I'm thinking, okay, that works fine, but I can't do that when I'm swimming. I can't do that when I'm racing. How do I deal with the pain when I'm racing? If I go to the beach in my head, I'm going to smash into the wall. You know? And how do you do that when you're running? You can't do that. You're going to run into a tree. Or at the very least, you're going to slow down because speed requires consistent attention to the intention of going fast. And I sat there in class and I... in my mind, I went in a totally different world. I went to a world of enhancing performance, promotive stuff instead of remedial stuff. I wasn't worried about getting back to normal anymore. I was worried about getting away from more normal on the other end. I was interested in helping people outperform everyone else. Right? And I guess that was my startup. I didn't know the term in those days, but I started up a field. And ended up working with teams at the University of Texas and building a career. My company of one. And, one of the exciting things about what I do is every day I'm working with people who literally do what they do better than at least 99% of the world. In some cases, often, I'm working with athletes who do what they do literally better than anyone else in the world, and they're incredibly motivated to do it even better. Or working with coaches or teams and to do the same thing. And one day I was sitting around, I was the national coach for Well, I guess this time it was for Canada. I was the national sports the sports psychologist for the national team for the Olympic team for Canada, and we're sitting around at training camp and discussing the schedule with the national coach. And the national coach says to me, let's do rookie night here. And I looked at him and I said, rookie night? What are you talking about? And I knew what rookie night was. You know, the people who are on a national team for the first time were getting hazed or abused for the entertainment of everybody else. And I looked at him and I said, I don't want to do rookie night. I don't think we should do rookie night. And I'm a great believer that that grief, and I believe it's grief, that grief suppresses risk-taking behavior. And risk-taking is really important when you're talking about outperforming the competition. And we went back and forth arguing about, oh, you'd say it was fun, and, you know, it's no big deal. People don't really mean anything, and most of the guys, they don't worry about it. They just laugh with everybody else, and it's a good time for all. And I'm saying, I don't care. It doesn't matter, because even if the guys are being hazed in that way, think it's all in fun, and they get it. Some people are sitting there. Some of the other people are not feeling that way, right? And they're worried about it. It's going to suppress behavior. And we went back and forth with this, and finally I look at him and I say, what does that have to do with what we're here for? And he went, and that was the end of rookie night. Right? Another time I'm sitting there, and with the same coach, we're sitting there and talking about philosophies of coaching. And I got to thinking about what my philosophy for swimming is. And I ended up taking a good look at that. And I had to understand first what a philosophy was. So I ran to the dictionary and I looked up philosophy. And the definition that's most meaningful to me is that a philosophy is a system of policies that guide behavior, rules that guide behavior. And so I started thinking about what my rules for competitive swimming. Well, all my life I've been focused on outperforming the competition. I've been focused on excellence. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, well, okay, so what do I do that helps me do that? And some of them were a little more esoteric than what you would use in other areas, but things like first in, last out, which is sort of a corollary of a rule of do more and better. Things like fix your goggles after the set or before the set, not in the middle of the set, which is pretty esoteric, I guess. Or go on the interval, which is pretty esoteric because you can't kid anybody. But I came up with a series of rules that that worked for me, and I ended up writing an article called My Philosophy of Swimming, and it was 50 rules for swimming. And then it brought me to thinking about philosophy for life. The first thing I thought was, if it's a philosophy for life, it has to be about the journey, not the destination. Right? And it was a philosophy for excellence. Well, what is it that we need to do to outperform the competition? And I think you have to have rules for that. You have to have rules because otherwise you're constantly making decisions. Making decisions that you've already made. Right? So a little scattered history there, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty and tell you a little bit about what the book is about. I listened to the talk before, and I really enjoyed the talk before, but I never heard anything about the company's mission. And I think you need to know where you're going, whether it's yourself or the company. We, as humans, we tend to get carried. We get led around, and we, you know, when you're a kid, you literally get carried. When you go to school, they tell you what to read, when to read it, what book to take out, what the page to open it to, when you can go to the bathroom, when you can get a drink of water, all this stuff. And we get in the habit of walking into a situation and thinking about what you're supposed to do and then doing it. Right? And that doesn't work when you're competing. Right? You got to walk in the situation and say, what do I want, and take it. It's mine. And you can't worry about what you're supposed to do because there aren't any supposed to's. You're not supposed to win. You're not supposed to outperform the competition. It's what you want to do, but there are no supposed to's for that. And what I found is the only mission that really works if you're if you're interested in outperforming the competition, is the pursuit of excellence. And companies tend to pay a lot of lip service to the pursuit of excellence, but I don't think they get it. And I don't think they get it because I come from a swimming background. And swimming is wonderful in the way it's so clear. Everything you do in practice, everything you do in competition is measured to the hundredth of a second. Constantly. Everything you do. Right? And there's no kidding about it. It gets measured electronically to the hundredth of a second. You can't pretend you do better. And, you know, you can go out in business, you do a good job marketing, you take a less than quality service or less than quality product, and you get good sales and good marketing, you make some money. But you don't necessarily excel in what you're doing. So the pursuit of excellence. So that's one of the rules, is that you need to be focused on the pursuit of excellence. If you get your mind focused on the pursuit of excellence, then it's a great check. Whenever things are going wrong, it's going wrong because someone is off track. You can bet if you're ever bored at work, if you're having conflicts with someone else, it's because one or both of you are not moving in the same direction. And to my mind, that direction ought to be the pursuit of excellence. But if you're not, then one of two things happen. You travel in apart, in which case you get lost, or someone gets lost, or you're traveling in different directions, in which case you collide, and then you have problems. Right? So a good check is against, are we pursuing excellence, and are we doing it by the rules? Right? So this book is about the rules for checking that. Right, and keep you on track. So some of the rules, I promised in a little blurb about the talk that I'd give you some ideas about some of the rules. So maybe some gifts. So I think one of the rules is maintain a positive attitude. Now, how many people have ever been told that they need to have more positive attitude? Come on, how many people have ever been told that they need to have more positive attitude about something, anything? Right? And when you get told that you need to have a more positive attitude, what does that teach you about how to have a positive attitude? Nothing, right? It tells you what not to do, or that you're doing something that somebody doesn't like. It doesn't work. So here's one of my gifts for today. I'm going to tell you how to have a positive attitude. And it's really easy to have a positive attitude. It's unbelievably easy to have a positive attitude. The things that you need to do in order to have a positive attitude are extremely simple. The hard part is doing it consistently, being consistently attentive to do what's really easy to do. Okay, so in order to have a positive attitude, all you need to do is act as if, talk as if, and hopefully think of as if what you're doing is worthwhile and valuable. That's it. If you're talking as if what you're doing is worthwhile, if you're acting as if what you're doing is worthwhile, and everybody in the world is going to think you have a positive attitude. And you do. The hard part is being consistently attentive to doing that. Okay, now some people, when they talk about positive attitude, they don't necessarily mean that. They mean something that has to do with confidence. Right? So let me tell you how to have confidence. Most people think that confidence is something that you have or you don't have. And that you sure want to have it when the time is important, right? And I'm going to tell you that's not true. It's really tough to have confidence that way, and it's really easy to have confidence. In order to have confidence, all you need to do is act as if, talk as if, and think as if you can do it, you will do it, and when you do, you'll have success. And sometimes it means just looking the part, and it doesn't even matter if you fake it. You know, if you walk around and you walk around like this, or you sit there like this, you don't look confident, and you tend to not feel that confident. The Japanese tend to talk about expanding your we, you know, just taking up more room, you know. And if you're out there and you're up here, you're walking around like that, it feels different. It looks different. You know, one of the rules is to act confident. One of the rules in my book is if you want to soar like an eagle, don't fly with the turkeys. The turkeys don't fly very well. They don't get very far off the ground. And one of the things we know from psychology is the best predictor of human behavior is the actions of others. You tend to do what other people around you do. Now think about who you're hanging around with when you're thinking about that. You know, one of the things that's been wonderful for me is I've been hanging around with the best coaches and the best athletes in the world. That's motivating. Your turkeys are going the wrong way. One of my rules is, one of the rules in the book is to play Star Trek. Everybody get that? Somebody tell me what that means. Play Star Trek. Boldly go where no one else has ever gone before, right? It's about doing things that other people haven't done. And that's where you want to focus. Open your mind up. Go where, no limits. You just never know. I had an opportunity to visit with Bob Beamon. Anybody know who Bob Beamon is? Bob Beamon probably did one of the most extraordinary athletic actions ever. In the 1968 Olympics, the world record for the long jump was 26 feet, 10 inches. Bob Beamon's best jump was 26 feet, 8 inches, I believe. He took a little run at the Mexico City Olympics, leaped up in the air, and went 29 feet plus. And I watched him give a talk one time where he stepped off 29 feet. That is so far. It's unbelievable. And he did it. You know, we're not talking about just setting a record. We're talking about going amazingly places nobody's ever gone before. And it happens all the time, and you need to be open to that. I did tell you, if you have a set of rules for yourself, and you don't have to have mine, the book, you know, it's great if you buy the book. If you don't, well, you don't, that's okay. But I encourage you to set some rules. Take a good look at your behavior and take a set of rules that works for you. Right? These are just suggestions. So some of my things are like out-consistent the competition. Right? Performance comes with collecting excellence, doing little things every day that help you get where you're going. Right? And you need to look at things differently. Improvement is a horrible thing. Improvement's a great thing, but it's a horrible thing. As I work with swimmers, I tell them they can improve, go their best time every time they perform and get further and further behind the competition because it matters how much you improve. And we're looking at, oh, you always hear, do your best time. It's a lot of nonsense, right? Because you just get further and further behind the competition that way. Just some examples of some rules. Anybody have any questions about performance? About outperforming the competition? Yes. You know, I was working with the Canadian Olympic team one time, and just in the matter of the course, I said to him, the object of the game is to win, which we all know. The object of any game in sports is to win, right? Or any kind of game. The object is to win. That's what makes it a game, right? And without that goal of winning, you don't have a game. And to my amazement, three of the best athletes in the world raised their hand and said, we disagree. Right? That it's about doing your best, that it's about participation. And so it's social. And I went crazy. It's like I threw away everything that I had prepared to work with them in training camp, and we talked about winning and what that was about. And I had individual sessions with those athletes, and we talked about winning. And when we were, at the Pan Am Games. When we finally got through them, we went to the Pan Am Games, and even we had to change the goal for the nation, which had been to get on the podium. I said, you don't want to get on the podium. You want to get a gold medal. You want to win the thing, right? And I went out to Pan Am Games, and for the first time ever, they beat the U.S. And they won more gold medals than they ever had before, and it was the simplest thing of understanding the game. It's not okay to just do your best. Best isn't good enough often. You know, Winston Churchill once said something about that, right? It's not sometimes you need to do what's required, not your best. It's an excuse. Right? One of my rules is no excuses. Right? It's just a way of saying I'm really a good person because I tried my best. I'm writing a book now called The Wimping of American Sport. Because now everybody gets a trophy for signing up. Right? And everybody gets told, just do your best. Or if they don't do well, they get told, it's okay as long as you tried. Right? Have you ever heard anybody say, it's okay as long as you tried after a brilliant performance? No, it's only after you stink up the place. Right? So what do you learn? You learn to go out and it doesn't matter how well you do, to act like you tried, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means. It means you put forth some effort and failed. You know, where's the value in that? I think life is so much richer and intriguing when you're looking to excel, when you're doing things to excel. You really get engaged in what you're doing. And I really think that's what happens in a lot of companies and one of the problems in a lot of companies, and certainly what happens to a lot of individuals. I believe I'm in the business of putting myself out of business. I want to teach people skills so that they can go out and handle it themselves. All right, so one last one before I go. Commitment. It's really important to commit yourself to your mission. The pursuit of excellence, I hope, in life. All right, but to commit yourself. Because a commitment, at least the way, and most people I don't think really understand what a commitment is, but at least to my mind, what a commitment is a big decision to make a lot of little decisions. It's a big decision to make a lot of little decisions to take goal-oriented action. Goals that are consistent with your mission. And if you do that, it's tremendously freeing. It obviates the need for making decisions that you've already made. Because we go through life making decisions, same decisions over and over and over again, and struggle with decisions on things we've already decided. It's like, because do I feel like it now? You know, or swimming, the way I understand commitment as a swimmer, is I go and I watch swimming practice, and the one thing I know that everyone is going to do at swimming practice is get in the water. But I watch athletes stand there at the edge of the pool and physically struggle with whether or not they're going to get in the water, especially if it's cold or they're hungry or anything like that. And they'll stand there for the longest time struggling getting in the water. Right? And I never do that. I just walk up and I dive in. And when I walk up and I dive in, that's when I understand commitment. When I leap up into the air and I'm in midair and gravity has taken over, there are no more decisions to make. You are getting in the water. Right? There's no way around it. You're going in the water. And that's where you want to be with all your goal-oriented decisions. You don't want to say, do I really want to do this? Or why am I doing this today? Or is this where I want to be today? Right? You want to be out there pursuing excellence. And if you have that commitment, it's so freeing, it's unbelievable. There's no anxiety about whether you're doing it. You're not distracted. You're just on go. If you have any questions, I'll be out there by the bookstore for a little while. Go out and enjoy your life, right? All right, thanks.